Turn with me, if you would, from Samuel 30. Amen. We're going to read verse 1 through 8. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, had taken the women captive, and therein they slew not any. Neither great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Aniam and Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for they shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. My title today, Devil, the past is the past. You can't have my future, and I want all my stuff back. Let's pray him right now. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated. David being moved by fear. David being moved, and flesh has made a bad decision. And when he comes back home, he finds that the enemy has come, and the enemy has destroyed his home. The enemy has taken all of his stuff. And we all have lost some things in life due to bad decisions that were made in the flesh and decisions made without prayer. But let me tell you something, folks. Bad decisions in life, decisions without prayer, often lead to losing your stuff. When you are hanging out in the wrong places, you can often expect destruction and loss of your stuff. Has anybody here ever lost some stuff because of a bad decision or being in the wrong place at the wrong time? Lost some money, lost relationships, jobs, peace, opportunities, different stuff. You see, anyone ever realize too late when you were in the wrong place at the wrong people and you thought you were so smart that while it seemed to work for a while, you find later that it blows up on you? Come on, we've all been there. You see, when David was on the run in Judah, his enemies got close, but no one ever touched his stuff. Look what happens now when David is camped in the wrong place. Folks, early success does not mean you're in the right place or that you won't have a price to pay for your lack of faith. See, when you read in verse 4, they wept, the Bible says, until they had no more tears to weep. Have you ever thought that you were doing good? And then only later find out that things are bad and you cannot do anything but be sad over the consequences of your mistake. You see, but crying about it did not get David and his men any closer to getting their stuff back. But after a while, folks, you will need to stop crying about your losses. Because crying is not going to get your stuff back. You see, in verse 6, even more distress was coming on David. His men, see, David lost his family too. And then his men were mad at him. But then they're so mad that they are talking about killing David. So it's even piling on David. Now they want to blame David for their troubles. It was not a spiritual response because it came from their soul and driven by their emotions. It is tough when the people that you expect to encourage you, then when they're not there for you. Instead of encouragement, you get discouragement. And anybody ever get dissed by folks that you expected to encourage you? It happened to David. But folks, then you better get ready. So I'm saying if it happened to David, you better get ready when it happens to you. Stop, folks, hear me today. Stop relying on other folks to make you smile. What happens when the person that you're with doesn't make you smile anymore? You see, David couldn't get any relief from his men, so he had to encourage himself in the Lord, his God. And when others fail to comfort you, folks, you better know how to get a hold of your God. Come on. When others fail to comfort you, you better know how to get strength in yourself in your God. Amen. People do different things to encourage themselves when they lose their stuff. You lose your peace. You lose your happiness. Then you go out and get high. Somebody hurts you, and you want to hurt somebody. So you may feel better still by hurting them, but no closer do you get back your stuff. You lose your girlfriend or your boyfriend and you want a poor pity me party. When you read in verse 8, David is being cautious. He's being cautious now not to move in the flesh. We have spiritual tools, folks. Hear me today as apostolics. I say we have spiritual tools available to us at all the time. But we sometimes never pull them out until it gets really, really bad. And maybe if we use them more often, things wouldn't get so bad in our life. See, fleshly move is just to go after them. But David has done that before. And so he won't bust a move at this time until he checks with God. Right? Good advice, amen? God, shall I go after these guys? God, if I go after them, will I catch them? And the answer from God, folks, is go after them. You will certainly catch them and will certainly recover what you lost. You see, folks, the answer David received is about what he asked. And when he comes humble before his God, God answers him. God doesn't want David chasing the enemies for nothing. You see, if God tells you to go after it, then success must be the end result of your pursuit, if he told you. And even after the mistake, God hears, God answers, and God allows to him to recover. Now, my point is, folks, God will help you recover from your loss if you trust him, if you seek him, and if you get a word from him. That is good news. Amen? David had to learn that he must do things God's way. If you want God to help you, you must change from doing your way to doing it God's way. You see, in John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in the woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap in order to have the basis of accusing him. But Jesus went down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. Here it is. "Go now and leave your life of sin." I said, if you want God to touch you, folks, you got to change some things. If you want God to be with you and give you victory in your life, you have to change this. Folks, have you ever experienced enough of the terrors of sin to see the need in your life to change? For although change is possible to you, it will never be actualized until there is a willed consent to move in a different direction. Come on. An alcoholic cannot receive help until he admits first he's an alcoholic and he sees his need to change. If you want God to touch your life, if you're sick and tired of depression and doubt and unfaithfulness and all these things that sin offers you in life, you have to be willing to change. Like Jesus told her, go now and leave your life of sin. And by now, folks, it should be understood that after trying and failing time and time again to grasp the pleasures of sin, the only way to have anything different from what you have had is to be different from what you have been. Come on, I'm talking about the devil. I don't care about my past anymore. Amen. I'm worried about my future. And by the way, I want all my stuff back. Come on, I'm telling you, God wants to help some people here today to change your future and to give you back your respect and to give you back something that you have lost for a long time. It takes the power of Jesus Christ to change you and to make you new. You see, the devil shows you pleasures without consequences. And this is really the only thing that he can do, folks. He can show you pleasure without consequences and make promises but not guarantees. Which is why you must first be honest with yourself. And you need to admit that you had as much fun as you thought you would have. Even if it made you happy, you fell short of having real joy. Admit that it only carried you so far. My joy only carried me so far, but dropped you short of the fulfillment that you expected would come from the experiences that you had in your life. But for some reason, the devil still has you doing the same thing you've been doing for a while now and still looking for something different to happen. And now, folks, the devil has you living like a fool, thinking that after things have gone wrong for the last however many years, you have a real chance of things working out finally. This is what you call a slave. See, a slave is somebody who does the same thing over and over and really don't want to, but can't help it because they feel they have no other alternatives. And this is the power of sin. It causes you to feel that you have no choice but to obey. But let me tell you something. Jesus comes to set you free today. Amen. Jesus is here to set you free. And if you really want to be free, the devil has had you locked up and shackled and will have you loose today, folks, by the power of Jesus Christ. He can loose those chains that the devil has had on you. Living in sin means playing the game that you cannot win. I'll say it again. I said living in sin means playing a game that you cannot win. The truth about the devil is that he does not play fair. The sooner or later, folks, sin's consequences catch up with you. And according to Leviticus 20, Deuteronomy 22, you cannot change the past. Come on, you can't change it. And for many of you, this might be one of the hardest truths to accept, that there is absolutely no hope of going and changing the past. Now, your future is suffering because you cannot seem to forgive yourself for what you've been already done. As sorry as we are for the things that we've done, folks, we cannot go back in time and undo those things. We can't do it. If you're really sorry, then pick yourself up and do something different today with your life. You may have served time behind bars that are despicable acts, but there is still life left to live. You may have gotten pregnant as a teenager, but there is still a lot of life to live. You may have sold your body for money in the past, but there is still going to be a change in your future. So stop worrying. Stop worrying about things that you cannot change and things you cannot do, and do what you can to change the things that are still within your power to do something about. Now, the scripture said they brought her to Jesus. See, although they could not see it, folks, in their rush to destroy her, they actually brought her to the safest place that she could have ever hoped to be, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many saints of God today are saved simply because they were driven in the direction of Jesus. It may not have been their desire at first, you see, but the thing that tried to kill them drove them to the presence of God. And the Bible says he gave her the opportunity to make a new start. Jesus gave her the opportunity to make a new start. You see, then Jesus says to the woman, go and sin no more. Which means that the things that you can find in my past don't have to be a part of my future. Come on. You see, he gives me permission to be different tomorrow than I was yesterday. I've got too much to live for. See, the devil might have used drugs to mess up your past, but don't let him use drugs to mess up your future. You might have had some mess ups in life, but if you are not dead yet, then the moment for life goes on. But what kind of life will it be? Prison? Prison might have taken years from your past. Don't give it another 10 years. Now look toward your future. Tell yourself, I'm tired of going before the judge, standing there knowing that he's got my life in his hands. I'd rather stand before God and throw myself on his mercy. Tell God, folks, I'm guilty, but I'm sorry. And instead of judge sentence me to death, I'd rather hear God sentence me to life. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now I no longer live for the pleasures. I'm living for the Lord. I'm no longer living for the suicide on my mind. I've got much more to live for. Amen. I live to praise God. Amen. I live to do his will. I live to please God. Come on. I live to tell somebody else that Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he did it for me, and he, with my messed up past, he can do it for you. The real question is not whether or not you have a past. It's whether or not you have a future. It all depends on you. Now, you can keep what you've had, or you can trade it for a real life in Jesus Christ. Come on. When you get tired of hating yourself, Jesus is standing by. When you get tired of doing the wrong things, Jesus is standing by, folks. When you get tired of not getting it right, Jesus is standing by. Folks, when you can encourage yourself in the Lord, your recovery season is not far away. Stand with me today. If you're tired of your past, come on. Even if you're here today and you've been part of this church for a while and you're tired of where you've been, you can change. Come on. God wants to change you. God wants to use you. God wants relationship. Hear me today. God wants a relationship with you. That's why he created us, to have relationship with you. I'm going to open this altar. If you want to come up here and say, God, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I want to change. Come on. God, I want to change. I don't want to leave here the same. I want to be changed in you. This altar is open. Saints of God, be sensitive. Come on, bring somebody with you. Find somebody you can bring with you. Come on. In Jesus' name, right now. God, have your way right now.